Upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus says, on this rock. That rock is what Peter just confessed, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. As Dave spoke to us this morning, Jesus is that rock. And it's on that rock that he builds his church. That rock is the foundation of the church. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 3:11, other sound foundation can no man lay other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This morning we want to talk about the church. The church that Jesus built. We want to talk about the enemies of the church. We want to talk about fundamental teachings of the Bible. We often don't talk about fundamental teaching. We say, we've heard all this before. But the Bible continues to warn us about forgetting what God said. Hebrews 2 verse 1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we heard, lest happily we drift from them. We need to be reminded over and over again of the fundamental teachings of God. Paul says in Philippians 3 verse 1, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not irksome, but to you it is safe. Paul said, I'm going to remind you again and again of that which you know. When Peter was getting ready to die, getting ready to be executed, he said in 2 Peter 1, verse 12, he says, I shall be ready always to put you in remembrance of these things which you know and are established in the truth which is in you. He says, you people know what I'm going to tell you. You are established in the truth. That truth is in you, and I'm going to be ready always to tell you again. We need to be reminded over and over again. I am always amazed or surprised or appalled when I hear some of our brethren gets their nose bent out of shape because somebody said something they didn't like and leaves the church and goes to some organization that a man established. How can they do that? That's because we have forgotten fundamental, foundational teachings of the Lord. We've either forgotten them or we never knew them. How is it possible for our brethren not to know them? You had to know them to come to Christ. Well, a person doesn't know very much when he comes to Christ. He doesn't need to know very much. And what we often do when a person comes to Christ, he's baptized into Christ, we put him in a class of adult teachers. And he is never taught basic fundamental truths of the gospel. We need to go back and set that foundation firmly, because Satan is alive and well. Satan is spending his time trying to destroy us. In this century, Satan has played a great victory over the church. There is teaching on universalism. I don't know why that comes up all at once. Did it again. I even saved that in PowerPoint from my Mac. So it doesn't work. Universalism. Universalism, tolerance, liberalism has become the god of the world around us. Universalism means that every religion is okay. Universalism means we accept every religion, Buddhism, Muslims, Jews, Shintoism, Taoism, Christianity, whatever, it's all okay. That's Satan's deceit to destroy people's lives. Tolerance is the god of our schools today. Tolerance means that whatever he thinks is as good as what you think.
Come on, brother.
And that's true if there's not a God. Whatever you think is just as good as what I think. We're just human beings. But if there's a God, it makes a difference.
Amen.
And we may be tolerant, but our God isn't tolerant of what you believe.
Amen.
We need to get back to foundational things and build the church right there where Paul laid the foundation, and we build on it. No other foundation can be laid. Liberalism. Liberalism is the belief that whatever you believe is truth for you. My truth and your truth might not be the same truth. What I believe is truth for me, what you believe is truth for you, and we're all okay. Satan has deceived us. He's deceived the world. He's done a great job in our century of deceiving people. I hear people say, good people can go to heaven. Let me tell you, nobody outside of Jesus Christ is going to heaven. There's no salvation outside of Christ. If there is, you can throw your Bible away, because it tells you straightly, if you're not in Christ, you have no salvation. You don't have to believe me, just believe God. I'm not the foundation. I'm not the standard of anything. God is. He is the foundation. Right back to where Dave was talking this morning about foundational things. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the suffering Savior, and he calls us to suffer with him and build his church. I was reading day before yesterday, Friday. On my email, I get the Focus Press by Bob Harab, which most of you know. He said a lady came to him weeping. She had to resign from the love of her life teaching children. She said she put up with a lot of misbeliefs in the times past. But she says, now a child was brought to me. He was a male and he wants to be a female. And they commanded her to call him Sally and to use all the pronouns of a girl for this boy. How far can we sink? He says in there, I opened it up and I read it. He said the New York City Department of Education is teaching these things. The Chicago Public School are teaching these things. The National Union of Teachers. I like the abbreviation, it's NUT. Are telling people, are telling our teachers, listen, our teachers are great people. We have teachers here. Teachers are great people. They've given their lives to direct the minds of children, and they're getting their minds polluted with all the stuff Satan's telling them that they have to do. He says there, and he gives you the internet to look up, transgender lifestyles, same-sex relations should be promoted to children as young as 2 years old. That's from these education directions. Instructions are to teach LGST and all those issues and lifestyles to toddlers starting from nursery school. And you think we're not in trouble? The world doesn't like anyone that takes a stand. Our Lord Jesus took a stand and they crucified him. The apostles took a stand and they crucified him, or they killed him. They cut off their heads. They crucified him. However they killed him, they killed him. Jesus says, when you talk about universalism, tolerance, and liberalism, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. That's not very universalism, is it? Jesus says, I am. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I am the way. What did the apostles say? In none other is there salvation. Neither is there any other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. No other way. There is no tolerance. That is where salvation lays, and outside of that, there is no salvation. God tells us through Paul in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body, that's the church, one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling whereunto you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who's over all, through all, and in all. No tolerance, no universalism, no liberalism. We come to our Lord Jesus by obedience to him, and he is our salvation. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, just look at a few passages in 1 Corinthians about the lack of tolerance or variation. In 1 Corinthians 4:17, Paul says, for this cause I sent unto you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, who shall put you in remembrance of my ways, which are in Christ Jesus, which I teach everywhere in every church. No variations. I teach it everywhere and in every church. He says in chapter 7, he's talking about divorce, remarriage. And he says, even as you're called, as God has called each one, let us walk therein, and so ordain I in all the churches. No variations. He says in chapter 14, verse 33, God is not the God of confusion, but the God of peace. As in all the churches of the Lord, let the women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak. No variations. Our Lord did make no excuses for what he said. The apostles made no excuses for what they said. There is a universalism, and that universalism is Jesus. He is the universal King. He says, I am the light of the world. There's no other light. I am the bread of life. I am the fountain of life. I am the door to the fold. Everybody that enter here has life. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way. Our Lord is everything. And all of his word, all of Jesus' teachings is in his word. Jesus says in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me receives not the words that I spoke, has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. One standard. When we come face to face with God, I don't care what you believe throughout your world, all your walks in life. It doesn't make any difference what you believe. When you come face to face with God, there's a standard that we're all going to be judged by, and that's the word of our Lord Jesus. And he tells you why, because in verse 49, he says, "For I spake not of myself, but the Father that sent me gave me a commandment what I should speak and what I should say. And I know that his commandment is eternal life." Prior to his going to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is taken and crucified, he in his prayer to God in chapter 17 of John, this word that is a standard that judges all men, he says, he gave to the apostles. Verse 8 and verse 9, in his prayer, he says, "Your word I have given to them." And then he tells us in 20 and 21, "Not only for these do I pray," the apostles, "but for all them that believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be in us, that the world may know that thou didst send me." One. Jesus said he brought the word of God from God. He not only taught it, he gave it to the apostles, inspired them by the Holy Spirit, who would bring there to their remembrance all that Jesus said and teach them all things. He's going to guide them into all truth. There's nothing left over. And those that believe on Jesus Christ by their words are all one. There's not a multitude of them. There's only one of them. And that word is sufficient for everything that we need. We don't need all the books in the world. We need one book. This book right here is the book that you need to go to heaven, to live eternally with God. 2 Timothy 3, passage you know well, verse 16. "All scripture inspired of God is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good works." Peter tells us, 2 Peter 1, verse 2, "Grace to you and peace abound in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus, seeing that his divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through a knowledge of him who called us after his own glory and virtue, whereby he has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." All things. "Where we escape the lust of the world." All things. He's given us everything. And he warns us about any other teaching. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, "If any man teach a different doctrine and consent not unto sound words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel," or the truth, "concerning godliness," he's puffed up and he knows nothing. We have a lot of professors in this world that knows nothing. If they don't know Jesus and his gospel and teach Jesus and the gospel that gives us godliness, they don't know anything that is of value, not of eternal value. They know nothing. It's all about God. Dave spoke about that. Dave, thank you for a good introduction this morning. It's all about God, people. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about God. We have a problem with our selfishness. Man had intimate relationship with God, walked in the garden with God, had visited with God, then sin come in. And God prepared a way for all of us to return back to God as if we had never sinned. But we have to do it God's way. Man's way will never get us back to God. We have to do it God's way. Mankind is selfish. We look for what pleases me. I want what pleases me. In fact, a bunch of us become Christians for selfish reasons. We become Christians because we don't want to fall into the fires of hell, but we don't want to serve Jesus either. We don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven, but we want to live like the world does. It can't be done. It can't be done. There is a big difference between being a believer and being a disciple. In John 12, verse 42, even many of the rulers believed on him. Many of the rulers believed on him, but did not confess it for fear of the Pharisees, lest they be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that is of men more than the glory that's of God. They believed him. They believed Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But they didn't follow him. Because there's a big difference between being a believer, as it's used in that terminology, and a disciple. We come to Jesus for selfish reasons. We don't want to go to hell. But we come to Jesus in truth, not selfishly, to be just like Jesus. We were called to be like Jesus, them he foreknew. He foreordained to become conformed unto the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8, verse 29. Our purpose is to be just like Jesus. Our purpose isn't to escape from hell. Our purpose is to be just like Jesus. That's discipleship. And that's where we need to be headed. We need to be heading for discipleship. Jesus said, if we want to come to him, there's a price to pay. About 2 weeks ago, Mike talked on these two verses I'm going to speak of. Ooh, where'd that go to? That went a long ways. Okay, back up. Jesus says there is a price to pay. This morning, Dave quoted Matthew 16:24. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. The same passage is used in Luke 9:32. Jesus says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Luke 9:23. My computer typed them backwards. Must have been the computer. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. And follow me. Jesus says, if you want to be a disciple, there's a price to pay. The passage Mike talked about a couple weeks ago in Luke 14, in verse 25, it says there were multitudes following Jesus, and he turned and spoke to them. Every time Jesus does that, you know he's not going to say what they want to hear. Jim McGuigan said of this passage one time, he says, what Jesus says here would scare an iron horse. Jesus says, if any man comes after me and hates not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers and sisters, yea, even his own self, he cannot be my disciple. He might be a believer, but he's not going to be a disciple. If any man bears not his own cross, next verse, 27. If any man bears not his own cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 33. Whatsoever therefore a man renounces not, if there's anything you don't renounce, you can't be my disciple. What did we just say? It's all about God. It's not about you and me. It's all about God. He says you renounce everybody you love the most, your mother, your father, your wife, your husbands, your children, your brothers and sisters, your own life. You crucify yourself and everything you have. You give it up for Christ or you can't be a disciple. There's a price to pay. Our Lord gave up his deity. He laid aside deity and became flesh and blood just like us. He lived a life of total holiness, took all of our sins and was crucified for us. And he says, now there's a price for you. It's going to cost you your life, just like it cost Jesus his life. So often we want salvation, but we don't want to be like Christ. 1 Peter 2:21. Hereunto were you called. This is what you're called to. Hereunto were you called. Because Jesus suffered for you, leaving you an example that we should walk in his steps. When you walk in the steps of Jesus, you're going to suffer just like Jesus did. This world isn't going to like you. If we walk as Jesus walked, don't expect the world to love us. They didn't love Jesus. When we look like Jesus and sound like Jesus and we're the sweet aroma of Jesus, this world's not going to like us. The reason we're popular is because we're acting like the world. First Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 3. Paul sent Timothy to him to check on them because he knew they were suffering persecution. And he says in verse 3, speaking about persecution, talking about why he wrote to them, that no man be moved by these afflictions, for hereunto were you appointed. He says you're appointed into this. When you live like Jesus, you're appointed unto these things. If you reject Jesus as Lord, you've rejected your salvation. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're meaning he has total control over your life. He controls what you think. He controls what you speak. He controls what you do and how you react. Jesus is Lord. Or he's nothing. And if we don't accept him as Lord, he won't be our Savior. That's the price you pay. He said, take up your cross and follow me daily. No cross, no crown. Jesus says, obedience is demanded. It was demanded of Jesus. In Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, though he were a son, he is the Son of God. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he become the author of salvation to all those that obey him. I have two more slides. I'm half through. And in these next two slides, don't pass out. I'm going to quit here. I was going to talk about the foundational ways how you get into Christ. I'm talking about hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting, confessing, and being immersed with Jesus. I'm sorry we don't have time. I want to talk about these things. What it takes to come into Jesus, to have eternal life with Jesus. So if any of you are out here and don't have eternal life with Jesus, there's one way to go to heaven. There's one way to be with God and our Lord Jesus eternally. There's only one way. Buddhism, where we worked, where we spent our life, in the Buddhist people. Muslims, Jews, Taoism, Shintoism. Have no hope. Have no hope. And we need to understand that clearly so we have a heart of fire to preach the gospel to everybody in this earth. Because they have no hope. And we have no hope if we're not in Christ. And there's only one way to get in Christ. And that's the process I just spoke of and don't have time to explain. But if anybody wants to come to our Lord Jesus and accept the one way and to walk in Jesus, today is the day to do it. If anybody needs to come back to Jesus, come back to the foundational things that gave us salvation. If anybody has any problems that they would like to express, that the brethren would help them with, come forward, because we're going to stand, we're going to sing, and at that time, you can come forward, and we'll take care of those things. Thank you.